God sure is good. He's been good to us all. And but you know what? I'm more excited about the real birthday, the day we came to the realization of that we were born of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Amen. Because that's our true birthday there.
Yes,
you know, that when we came to that knowledge, you know. Well, hold on just a second, and I'll try to get hooked up here. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I kind of was questioning the Lord this morning what he would have me speak about, and I think I got up at 3 o'clock this morning. You know, I've found out over the years that a lot of times, you know, years past, the Lord would start giving me something ahead of time, and sometimes he still does that. But a lot of times anymore, he takes me up to the 12th hour, you know. And I keep saying, well, Lord, I only want to share what you want me to share, you know. And but the one thing I have learned is it's not my responsibility to come up with something. It's God's responsibility to give me something if he wants me to share. You know, and the title to my sermon today is Relax and Chill Out. Okay? And I think we all need to hear that. Relax and chill out. Okay. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way. I ask you to pour yourself through me today. I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And Father, I just ask you to help us to just see your glory in the earth as you glorify your people, Father. And I believe you're going to do that. And I'm looking for creation to be set free into that glorious liberty of being your children. And I thank you for what you're going to do here today. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. And you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, like I said, the title to this sermon is Relax and Chill Out. And my first scripture here is Romans 14:1. Now, I'll tell you the context of this scripture, how it originally was written, but I don't know that it's going to be the way it was originally written, the way I'm going to share it today, okay? It was originally written to talk about food. We all like food, too much sometimes, but I'm not going to talk about food today, okay? I'm going to talk about something else. In Romans 14:1 in the Message Bible, I love what this says. It says, welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Do you do that? It says, don't jump all over them every time they do or say something that you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinion but weak in faith. The faith department. I should have read that a little better. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. And you know, a lot of times, I've heard people get into religious arguments and different things, you know, and boy, it can get ugly quick, you know. And you know what? We're not supposed to do that. Even people that you disagree with on some of their stances on some of the things in religion, you're supposed to love them. You know, if they love Jesus Christ, they're your brother and your sister. And if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're your brother and your sister anyway. They just don't know that they're your brother and your sister, okay? And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this, and I'm going to look at a couple of these words here. And it says here, even when it seems that they're strong on opinion. You know, years ago, and I've shared this before, but years ago, the Lord dealt with me about opinions. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. And, you know, the working definition that the Lord gave me for the word opinion is something that falls short of the truth.
Yes, amen. That's good.
That's what opinions are. There's something that falls short of the truth. And I want you to know that there's only one truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. He was the way, the truth, not a truth, but the truth, and the life. And you know, in that verse it says, even when it seems that they are strong on opinion, but weak in faith, the faith department, remember that they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about faith. You know, the definition that the Lord gave me for faith is believing in the truthfulness or the truth of God. We know who the way, the truth, and the life is. It's Jesus. So there is no other faith than believing in Him. Now, Scripture tells us that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, if He's the author, that means He's the beginner of it. And if He's the finisher of it, He's the finisher of it. You know, He starts it and He ends it, okay? And it starts in Him and it ends in Him. And, you know, it says, I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of it. It says, let Him do His job, and you know what? You need to let God do His job. It's His job. It ain't yours. And a lot of times we tell people, well, you should have more faith. You can't tell somebody to have more faith. That's all up to God. He's the author and the finisher of that faith. And faith is like a mustard seed. And it's like a seed that lays dormant. You know, I remember Brother Eddie sharing a sermon years ago about them going into the, and I think I've shared this before, but I don't care. You know, a good teacher repeats themselves, I'm going to tell you that. And once you all get it all, I'll never have to repeat myself again after that, okay? But, you know, he told about them going into one of the pyramids over in Egypt, apparently, and them finding some seeds in there. And they'd been in there for maybe 1,000 years or so. And they took some of them seeds out and they put them in the ground. And then they watered them. And guess what happened? They grew. And I want you to know that the faith of God, every man is dealt a measure of faith. He has the seed of the faith of God inside of him. Now, sometimes it's already in an earthen vessel, because Scripture says we have treasure in this earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And it's really of Him. He's the one that has all the power. But it's already in the earthen vessel, so all it really needs is the water. And we know that the water is a type of the Word of God. And we know who the original Word of God was. The Word of God is not something written in this book up here. It's not something written on this paper up here. The Word of God was Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the Word. He is the water of God. And when He begins to activate the faith in somebody, it starts to grow. And He has to be the one who activates it. Now, He will use people to speak His Word sometimes, and that Word will begin to make that seed start to break forth a little bit and start to grow. But I just want you to know that we need to let God do His job. It's His job. It's not your job. It's not my job. It's His job. And it says, to every man was dealt a measure of faith, and faith is a seed that lies dormant until it comes in contact with the water of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. And the next scripture there is Romans 14:8. And I think this scripture tells a lot if we'll really listen to what it says. Romans 14:8 says, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. So, you know, we spend a lot of time worrying about a lot of things that we have no control over. You know, I mean, we really do. And we need to start giving the control back, like Clyde was saying. You know, the actual word for Lord literally has the meaning of controller. It's sovereign controller. And, you know, if you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then what you're really saying when you say that is you're saying, Lord, you are my sovereign controller. You're in control of everything that happens in my life, everything that goes on around me. You're in control of all of that. And, you know, you're sovereign. And when somebody's sovereign, that means they're the ruler over it completely. And I want you to know he's the sovereign controller. And, you know, whether we live or whether we die in the natural, he's in control. And if you know him as your Lord and Savior, you never die anyway. You just step right over into life. And you step over into more abundant life. You know, Paul said, you know, that he desired to depart to be with the Lord. He was talking about dying. And he said he desired to depart to be with the Lord. He said, but it was more expedient for him to stay here for your sakes, you know, because he was teaching. You know, he was bringing people to the knowledge of the Lord. And he understood that what we call death is not really death. You know, it's a release into another realm. I believe he really understood that. You know, he made a statement one time. He said, I knew a man once, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. And he didn't know. He said, but he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, there's other realms of heaven. Well, I don't know about that. I know the scripture tells me there's three realms of it because Paul was caught up to that third one, okay? And I know that God does a lot of things through threes, you know. Jesus said, go tell that old fox that I do cures and so on and so forth. And he said, on the third day, I'll be perfected. And, you know, we're in the third day of the Lord. We're in the third day of the Lord. You know, Scripture tells us that 1,000 years is as a day. Once it went past the year 2000, we entered into the third day from Jesus. And our time is based on his death. You know, it's B.C. before Christ, A.D. after death. That's how we base all of our calendars and our time and everything else. And it's kind of funny because a lot of people who don't even believe in Jesus Christ, when they look at their calendar, they're looking at something that's based on Jesus Christ. It's A.D., it's after death, you know. But I just want you to know that we don't have to fear about any of this stuff. We don't have to worry about it. You know, I mean, last week, you know, when I shared that song with you last week, and you know, that song really ministers to me when I listen to it. I love good singing, harmonized singing anyway. You know, I used to like the old doo-wop singing because they got together and a whole bunch of guys and they harmonized and did that. And that was some good singing, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, when I listen to the words of songs, I'm more interested in the words of a song than I am in the actual song. But with those words I shared with you last week, that sounded like a love song to God to me, you know, and a love song to us, you know. And, you know, if you really listen to the words sometimes, whether you know it or not, and whether even the songwriters know it, when they do those songs, they're inspired from God. And a lot of times God uses things that the person isn't even aware that they're being used sometimes, you know. In the scripture, Cyrus was brought forth. And Isaiah prophesied about Cyrus over 100 years before Cyrus was ever born. And he said, I brought forth my servant. And he basically told what he was going to do. And he said, even though he was my anointed, even though he didn't know it. I mean, he basically comes out and says that in the scripture. Cyrus didn't know that he was doing the will of the Lord when he was doing it because he let him go back and rebuild the temple, you know. But you know what? So many times we don't understand God is totally in control of everything. Not a little things, not a few things. He's in control. And we need to acknowledge His control. We need to praise Him no matter what's going on around us. And we don't always have to understand what's happening. And a lot of times, because we live in such an educated time in life, that we think, well, we should know everything that's going on and all the nuances of exactly what God's doing. Well, we don't know that. And He doesn't let us know that. And, you know, anyway, it says, whether we live or we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 10:24, and I like this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, don't think only of yourself. It says, try to think of other fellows too, what is best for him. You know, a lot of times in life, if you want to see the blessings of God in your life, and you want to see God do things for you, and you don't do it because of that, start praying for other people. You know, a lot of times we think, oh God, I got to pray that you get my family, or you do this, or you do that, or you do something else. And we're trying to tell God just exactly how He should do it, and when He should do it, and all the circumstances and everything the way it is, like He doesn't know all that. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, He knew you. He had a plan for you long before you ever stepped into this earth. He knew exactly what you were going to do. He knows exactly what you're going to do in every situation. That doesn't mean that you have to do something a certain way, but what it means is He gave you a free will, and He knows what you're going to do before you do it. You know, and that's hard for us to understand sometimes, but He's in control, folks. He is the sovereign controller. He is Lord. And anyway, it says here, I'm going to read that again. This is out of the New Living Translation, or out of the Living Bible translation. It says, don't think only of yourself. Try to think of other fellows too, and what is best for him. Galatians 2:19 through 21, this is the Message Bible, it says. It says, what actually took place is this. I try keeping rules and work my head off to please God, and it didn't work. You know, the harder you try to do things for God, usually the bigger mess you make. I'm telling you, you don't do anything for God. He don't need your help, but what He does need for you to do is to be obedient when He tells you to do something. Okay? I'm going to read that again. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a law man, a man that's trying to fulfill the law of God, so that I could be God's man. And I changed that around just a little bit. And another way of putting it is so that I could be a God man. And you say, well, Oscar, some people get offended at you saying a God man. Well, I'll tell you what. The scripture says that every seed is after its own kind. The seed of the Word of God is in you. So if that seed is in you and every seed is after its own kind, then what does that make you? It makes you a God man. That's what He created you to be. In Genesis, when He said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness, and let him have dominion. Now, if He made you in His image and in His likeness and wants you to have dominion, and you've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, then if each seed is after its own kind, then what does that make you? A God man. You know, Jesus, when He came, He had to tell people, when he told them basically that he was the Son of God. But he also told them a lot of different times that he was the son of who? Of man. Why did he do that? Because we know he was God in the flesh. But we had to come to understand that he was telling people, I'm the God inside of man too. You know, when man awakens to who he really is, his true identity in me, what he's going to realize is, and and that's why Jesus could tell them when they said to him, well, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient. He said, well, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? He said, don't you realize when you see me, you've seen the Father? And you know what? He said, the words that I speak, these are the Father's words. The things that I do, this is what I see the Father do, you know, in the Spirit. And God is Spirit. You know, he is Spirit, but he became flesh in Jesus Christ that we could believe that we as being flesh could become a part of God, you know. And you know, sometimes people have a hard time understanding that because they think, well, you're making yourself out to be a little God. No, I'm making myself out to be a part of God because his seed is inside of me. And that seed can't bring forth nothing but him. That's what it has to bring forth. Okay? Now, let's go on a little bit farther. And it says, I'm going to read that to you one more time. In Galatians 2, 19 through 21, and this is out of the Message Bible. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping the rules and working my head off to please God. And guess what? It didn't work. So I quit being a law man, somebody trying to keep the law, so that I could be God's man. And like I say, another way of putting that is I could be a God man. God in man. Him. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If it dwells in you, it's going to quicken your mortal body. Okay? In verse 20 it says, Christ's life showed me how, enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. You know, anytime you identify yourself with something other than God or other than Christ, you're walking in a false identity. I mean, that's a kind of a hard saying to say, but it's true. It said, I identify myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. Now listen to this. My ego is no longer central. My ego. Do you know the word I in the Bible? Do you know how it's spelled in the Greek? E-G-O. Ego. That's how it's spelled. Let me tell you what, there's only one I am. That's him. And we're a part of him. And the only I that you need to be talking about very much is not this old fleshly man, but the Christ within you. He's the great I am, and it needs to be you. It says, my ego no longer is central. It no longer is important that I appear righteous before you, or have your good opinion. Remember what opinion is? Something that falls short of the truth. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is revealed by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in verse 21, it says, I'm not going to go on that. It's not clear to you that you go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God. I refuse to do that to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. I'm going to read that to you again because that's kind of, there's a lot there. It says, I am not going to go back on that. It is not clear to you that to go back to the old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God. I refuse to do that to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. You know, you've been set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. You are a son of God. You have a freedom to where you don't have to keep rules. You don't have to have 15 rules or 10 rules even, the 10 commandments. You don't have to have those 10 rules because Christ in you is a fulfillment of it. That's right. It's because that Christ in you is the love of God. And what did Jesus say? A new commandment I give you that you do what? Love one another, even as I have loved you. And you know what? When we begin to function in the love of God and to love people, even when they're unlovable, even when they're mean to us, even when they mistreat us, even when they say bad things about us, because they're going to say bad things about you and they're going to mistreat you if you're a Christian. If they're not doing that, then I'm going to tell you what, I hate to say it, you're pleasing the world, you're not pleasing them. You're not pleasing God. Because Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they wanted to crucify me, they're going to want to crucify you once in a while. But you know what? The neat thing about it is that He's your ever-present help in time of need. He's the one that's with you always, even unto the end of the age. And He's in control of it all. Amen. Galatians 2:20, I'm going to read it to you out of the King James because I like this. I'm a King James kind of guy more than the rest of these translations because I've studied into the words in King James and I know what they really mean. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the rest of that says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's basically what it says. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. And Brother Eddie used to quote this scripture a lot. He's quoted this scripture a lot. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you know when the day of Jesus Christ is? It's every day. Every day. What's that scripture say? This is the day that who has made? That the Lord has made. So every day is His day. So He's going to perform this into the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform it every day. It says, and this is out of the Message, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind, this is that same scripture, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it into a flourishing finish on the very day that Christ Jesus appears. You know what? He's appearing to you every day. He's appearing in you every day because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says, and this is verse 7, it's not at all fanciful for me to think this way about you. My prayers and hopes have deep roots in reality. You know what we see around us today, everything that you see in the natural is temporal. It's temporary. This building is a temporary building. Now, it might stand for 40, 50 years. It might stand for 60 or 70 years. Probably not because the way men build things, they don't build it as good as they used to in the old days. But anyway, it might be around 100 years. I don't know. It might be 200 years. But I'm just going to tell you, it's a temporary building. It's temporal. Everything you see in the natural is temporal. But I'm going to tell you, everything that you see in the spirit is eternal. And I'm going to tell you what, when reality breaks forth, it's going to break forth into the realm of eternal, not temporal. And I'm going to read you another scripture here, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, and Clyde said it back there, and I've read this many, many times, and I love this scripture, and it's out of the Phillips translation. It's John 3:2, out of the Phillips. It says, "Oh, dear children of mine, forgive the affection of an old man." And that could fit me, because I'm getting to be an old man myself. But, you know, I'm waiting for that youth renewed like the Eagles, you know. Have you realized it? Here and now, we're God's children. We don't know what we shall become in the future. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Only God knows that. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect His likeness. For we should see Him as He really is. Praise God. I love that scripture. Break forth reality of God. Break forth in all of us. This got touched on a little bit in Sunday school back there too. Romans 8:18. This is out of the Phillips also. And listen to these words. And this should be the way you feel every day. In my opinion, and there's that opinion again, okay? Something that maybe falls a little short of the truth. Whatever we may go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sights of the sons of God coming into their own. Now listen to this. The world of creation, everything out here in the natural, as yet cannot see reality. They don't see the eternal. But thank God that He's starting to reveal it to us day by day by day. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because God and His purposes, it has been so limited. God's the one that's limited them. He ain't letting them see the total reality yet. But reality is going to break forth. And when it does, oh my goodness, you think there's been big revivals, there's been big moves of God. It ain't going to be nothing like when that reality totally breaks forth. It's going to be so glorious. It's going to be more glory than it's ever been on this earth before. God's purpose has been so limited, yet it's been given hope. And the hope is this. This is the hope. That in the end, the whole of created life, everything God created, all the life He created, will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. Now, a lot of people say, well, Brother Oscar, when you talk about total reconciliation, what is that? I just read you. He's saying, and the hope is that in the end, the whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and will have its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. Wow. What a word. Break forth reality of God. Break forth in this earth, because when you break forth in this earth, all this stuff that we're worrying about every day don't mean a thing. It ain't gonna amount out to nothing. You got it all in control. You're gonna set your sons free into the earth, and the creation's groaning and travailing. Romans the 8th chapter says, waiting for that manifestation of the sons of God. Hello, sons of God. Hello. Hello. You've been born again of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You say, well, Oscar, I'm a woman. That don't make no difference, because in Christ there's neither male nor female. Don't make any difference. That's what the Scripture said. I'm just reading you Scripture. I'm telling you Scripture. I'm quoting you Scripture. You know. But I just want you to know, folks, relax. Chill out. He's got this thing in control. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to, if you're going to have a job tomorrow. You don't have to worry about all that. Just trust in Him. He is your source. He will take care of you. He will see that you're taken well care of. You know, so many times we think we got to do this and we got to do that and we got to do something else. I got news for you. You don't have to do nothing but just trust in Him. Be obedient to the things that He has you do. He bids you to do on a daily basis. Be obedient to those things. That's all you got to do. This thing is a lot more simpler than what we think it is. Spend some time with the Lord. Get to know Him better. You know, thank Him on a daily basis for his mercies and His love and His forgiveness and everything else. You know, He loves you with an everlasting love. You're an expression of Him. You know, I love when I see little kids. As I've gotten older, I observe little kids more, you know. Because what did Jesus say? He said, except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom, and you can't even see the kingdom. Now, I look at little kids sometimes, and it's funny because I'll wave at them or something when I come in. You know, I'll catch their eye and I'll wave at them or something. And most of the time, they'll wave back. You know, most of the time, even if they're a little bitty, you know. But when you think about it, you look at them, and then you look at their mom or their dad, and you'll say, geez, that little girl looks just like her mom. You know, or that little boy, he looks just like his dad. Look at him, you know. And you know what? There's coming a day when people are going to say that totally about you. You look just like your dad. And you know who your dad is? He's El Shaddai. He's Elohim. He's Lord God Almighty. He's all of those things. That's who He is. And there's coming a day when that stuff from the inside is going to break forth to the outside. And when it breaks forth to the outside, creation is going to be set free when the reality of God begins to break out into the open. It's going to happen, folks. I don't know that I'm going to live to see it. If I do, wonderful. If I don't, it's okay, because I want to be with the Lord, and I'll be part of that innumerable company that's urging everybody else to go on unto perfection, you know. But I just want you to know that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You know, that poem the Lord gave me years ago, it's as good today as it was the day He gave it to me. Why do you struggle? Why do you fret? When all that you accomplish is to get upset. When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. And truly to praise me in all these things, for my peace will lift you as though you had wings. And as you look on the problems below, I'll give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand, and nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. Wow. When you can walk in the reality of that, you don't have to worry about what's going on out there. You don't have to worry about the banks. You don't have to worry about the stock market. You don't have to worry about anything that's going on out there. You need to just trust in Him. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He's going to totally direct your paths. Totally. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. But I just want you to know, relax, chill out. Quit worrying. And I tell you what, the more you do that, the greater your relationship's going to get with God, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until that reality breaks forth. And praise God, it's going to happen. Now, whether it happens in our generation or whether it happens tomorrow or 2 weeks from now, I don't know. But I tell you what, He does. And it's going to happen because His Word declares it. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, we just acknowledge You. We thank You, Father, that that we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And we just ask you, Father, to help us move more into the reality of you each and every day, and more into the reality of who we are in you and what you've called us to do. And the main thing you've called us to do is to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit each and every day. And if we do that, what does your word declare? These are the sons of God. And Father, as we do this stuff, as you direct us to, creation's going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. But I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and they are life. I ask you to bless your people, to encourage them, to cause them to go out and be an encouragement everywhere they go, to be a blessing everywhere they go, that your love might be seen in each and every one of your body of Christ. I thank you, Father, what you're doing. I give you the praise, I give you the glory, and I give you the honor, for you alone are worthy. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you all.